Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
So we're on this series, Leaders and Lovers of God. And Pastor Doug's been giving a couple messages on this series. And I believe as Christians, we're all leaders. Like, we're all leaders. We should be trying to lead people to Jesus, trying to lead people into a relationship, because we've experienced it. We know how great it is. It should be our desire that we're leading other people to Jesus. So don't say you're not a leader. Say, I am a leader. And this is for you. I am a leader. And if you've been following, then you know that true leaders, they're not just picked because of their position or because they're better off than other people. But Pastor Doug, when he talks about David, you know, sometimes he picks the least to be the most. You know, it talks about in the Bible how the last will be first. And it's really important not to think poorly of yourself, because God thinks the best of you. No matter what your history, no matter what your past has been, God values you so much. I mean, he created you. So it's important to think of yourself as a leader. And the Bible is filled with a ton of great leaders. I'm going to be talking about one of them today. So my message is titled, The God First Life. And there's a lot of people in the Bible that display the God First Life. But today, I'm going to be focusing on a guy named Daniel. You might have heard of Daniel. A lot of times it's Daniel in the lion's den. Just kind of like his something that comes with his name. But Daniel is so much more than that. Daniel is a man who was taken from his homeland and just forced into servitude for a king that didn't share the same beliefs that he had. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was brought over. Daniel was actually from a royal line, and he was meant to be something. But his life kind of got interrupted, and now he's forced into, like, serving somebody. And it's also interesting to note that at this time, Daniel was only 15 years old. So it's just amazing the character that he has at such a young age already. You know, despite being taken in as a servant, he's able to rise throughout leadership positions. And eventually he becomes prime minister. And the position of prime minister is second only to the king. And it's so unlike the worldly view of rising the ranks. You know, in the world we say we backstab. We do whatever we can to get ahead. We lie, we cheat, we steal sometimes. That's what non-Christians feel like. You have to step on other people in order to get ahead. And it's just, it's not true. Daniel stays true to himself and true to his beliefs, and he still rises within the political ranks. I believe that's the best way to get into a position of leadership. That's the best way. You can have integrity and success. You can have integrity and success at the same time. So what did Daniel do to become such an effective leader? Well, I already talked about it a little bit. Daniel chooses God's way first. He wants to live this God-first life. And there's two instances that I'm going to take you through where Daniel is specifically picking God's way over the norm or what's expected of him, or over what most people would pick. So the first instance I'm going to take you through is something that Daniel chooses to abstain from certain foods because it would defile himself before God. You know, under his laws and his customs, he's not supposed to eat certain things or drink certain things. And when he's brought in to serve the king, there's this period of preparation. And he's going to be asked to drink wine and the king's food. But he doesn't want to do that because it would defile himself before God. So let's pick it up in Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 13. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink, then compare our appearance with what you see. Here we see Daniel choosing God's way over what was expected of him. And we also see a persistence here that serves Daniel really well. I mean, Daniel comes and he says, I don't want to do this because I'm called not to do this. And the chief official says, you know, Daniel, I really like you. You're a good guy. But if I do this, you know, I'm going to die. You're probably going to die. And it's just going to be an incredibly big mess. So maybe we shouldn't do it. And at that point, Daniel could have been like, I tried. But you know what? That's a really good argument. That makes a lot of sense. And just given up. But Daniel doesn't give up. He's persistent. And he convinces him to give him a chance. It was worth it to Daniel to fight for this. Because it is something that God had asked him to do. And when you guys try to live a life for God, you are going to face resistance. And if you don't persevere, and if you don't try to overcome these, then you're going to miss out on all the blessings that God has for you. The longer and the deeper that you press into God, you know, the stronger this resistance can become. And the deeper we get into a walk with God, you're gonna feel it. And it might become overwhelming. But with each victory, God strengthens you. And your faith becomes more strengthened. You know, your faith is like a muscle. And the more we exercise it and the more we use it, the stronger it becomes. I remember when I first became a Christian. And so I was about 16 when I was 16 when I became a Christian. And the life I was living before, I wasn't doing everything right. I was doing some things that were very worldly. And I remember thinking, I gave my life to Jesus. And I was like, there's like a couple things, you know, two things, maybe three things. And if I could get over these and if I could fix these things, I would be the perfect, most holy Christian. Because, you know, there's got a couple addictions, a couple ways of thinking. I'm like, I just got to deal with these. I'll be good to go. And with God's help, I did overcome them. I did get through it. But then I soon realized that there was more areas of my life that God wanted me to work on. And more areas. And now, after all these years, there's actually more things than I can even count that God is calling me to work on. And it's that thing when you get close to God, he reveals these things and he shines a light on you. And things that when I wasn't a Christian that I think are an issue now that I need to deal with, I would have never thought were an issue. They're such small things, but they're big things, actually, when God's working on you. So there's times when I resist these changes. And when I tell God, you know, I think I can live a life for you and still do this and still do that. And when I do that, I see that my life and my spiritual walk and where God wants me to be, it lags behind. And I stumble and I fall. But when I overcome and I realize that God's way is always the right way and I listen to him, that's when I can persevere. And that's what happens to Daniel. So Daniel made the decision not to put certain things into his body. And at first, you know, when we become a Christian, it might be things like that. Like what we eat and what we drink. What we say, little things that God will call us into. But the deeper of a relationship we get with God, you know, the more he asks of us. And remember I said there was two instances where Daniel showed the God first life. So the second instance, it has to do with something that Daniel made a priority in his life. Daniel prayed to God religiously. It says in the Bible that Daniel got down on his knees 3 times a day and he prayed. This was his connection to God. This was his lifeline. You know, this was the air that he was breathing. It was so important to Daniel. At this point in Daniel's life, years have passed, and he has served under 3 different kings. And every time, under each king, Daniel has rose into this, like, high position. And at this point, he is prime minister, second only to the king. Now, the guys around Daniel, the other people that were officials and had titles, they were getting jealous. And they were looking for ways to take Daniel down. You know, it'd be kind of like a modern-day political race where opponents are after each other, trying to pick apart their personal lives, seeing what they can find out about this person, a smear campaign, dig up some scandals. But Daniel's living the God-first life. So they can't find anything wrong with him. They can't find anything to pick apart. That's when they come up with this idea to use Daniel's faith against him. And that might happen to you. You might not be doing anything particularly wrong, but people can use your faith against you. So these administrators come up with this great idea. They rush to the king. And they tell the king, you're so great. You're so awesome. You know, your teeth are so white and your hair is so combed just perfectly, and I love the way your beard is braided into a ponytail. And they just build him up, and they say, King, live forever. King, you should make a decree that for the next 30 days that no one should pray to any human or any god except for you, because you're that great. And the king's like built up and feeling pretty good. He's like, yeah, I should make that decree. These administrators are really smart. They're playing off the king's sense of pride. He's the king after all. You know, the king thought very highly of Daniel. And I think if he had a little bit more forethought and took his time to sign this decree, he was kind of tricked. He wouldn't have done it because he didn't want to see Daniel get hurt. If he knew what was going to happen, he would have never signed that decree. So the decree is published. Daniel hears about the decree. What do you think Daniel's reaction was? What would your reaction be? Man, this is a pretty big decision. Like, if he goes and prays to God, like he always did, he's going to get thrown into a den of lions. And these lions are hungry. I mean, they're starving. I'm thinking, like, I just think about it. Daniel probably went, maybe talked to his parents, said, hey, I don't know what to do. Hung out with some friends, talked to some mentors, really agonized and struggled, you know, for a long time about what I'm going to do about this decision. You know, I love God so much, but I really don't want to die. So what am I going to do? You know, that's how I picture it. I put myself in that situation. What would I do? You know, I know there's people in the Middle East that are dying because they believe in Jesus. And because when they're asked to renounce their faith, they'd say, no, I'm not going to. Then they're killed instantly. And closer to home, we don't have that struggle. No one's pointing a gun to our head. They're not going to kill us to say we believe in Jesus. But we do have other things. You know, we might be embarrassed to pray in public. Or maybe we struggle with, at work, you know, acting like a Christian or not trying to speak the way everyone else does at work. You know, it's too easy just to blend in and live a double life. That's the easy way to do it. And these are real concerns for here at home. So if we're put in this situation, I don't know what we would do. But remember that Daniel's living the God-first life. So let's see what Daniel does. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. What? Like, I read this like 50 times this week and I'm still like amazed. He hears about it. He instantly goes up to his room where the windows are wide open to Jerusalem. I mean, Daniel, take the time to close your windows. Give yourself a chance not to get caught. But Daniel is not ashamed. He doesn't care what people think because he knows that God is the priority. God is who he's living for. So he gets down on his knees and he prays to God just like he had done before. Just like he always did. Every day. Wow. That's living the God-first life. So we learn from Daniel, to be an effective leader for God, we need to be consistent. You know, living from God is not something we do when we feel like it. It's not something we do when we have the time. But it's something that we're continually doing, day in and day out. We need a deep relationship with God. You know, we need to take the time to read our Bible, to pray, spend time with God, get to know God. It's through that relationship that we're able to stay true to him. And we need to choose to live for God above all else. You know, there's things out there in the world that are pretty appealing. We can get caught up in chasing success and other things of this world. But we really need to live for God above all else. Now, if you choose to follow this example that Daniel's living, like I said before, you're going to face resistance. Guaranteed. It's going to happen. People were out to get Daniel, and people are going to be out to get you. Try to live a God-first life. But the nice thing is that God has our back, no matter what. When trials come, you're not going to be easily swayed because your God is immovable. You know, having God on your side is the greatest weapon. God is the creator of this universe, the author of all creation. He's made every living thing. And you have him on your side. I promise, if you trust in God, he's not going to let you down. He will save you. And if not here at on earth, then he's going to save you in eternity. So you have to have that mindset. Daniel, thrown into a lion's den, but God has his back, sends his angels, keeps the mouths of the lions closed, spends an entire night there. And when morning comes, the king comes. And this is what he says, Daniel chapter 6, verse 20. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lions? Now, I just love how the king even recognizes that Daniel is serving God continually. When you're living this type of life, it has to be evident to the people around you. When you're living the God-first life, it's going to be evident to the people around you. Do the people you work with, do your friends, do your family know that you're a Christian, that you love God? They should. And they don't need to know because you broadcast it. Because you say, I'm a Christian. Look at me. Look how great I am. Man, I got something you don't have. I am saved and you are not. You know, some Christians can be like that. They can be so judgmental. Tell you you're going to hell. You think you're going to save anybody with that attitude? You're not. People shouldn't be able to tell you're a Christian just by your words. But they need to see you're a Christian through your actions, through your attitude. Verse 21 and 22. Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, my majesty, or your majesty. The story of Daniel following God, no matter what, is a story that is reoccurring in the Bible. God is rescuing his people time and time again. You know, we see it with Joseph and his brothers. They send him into slavery, but God comes, helps him, and raises him into a position of authority. And we see it with David and Goliath. You know, this little boy facing a giant. No way. Not going to beat him. But God comes, has his back. You know, there's even a story in Daniel about three guys called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these guys were asked to bow down to this idol made of gold. And a lot of people think it was in the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. And they refused to bow down because they knew if they bowed down, that would be worshiping another god. That would be going contrary to what the Bible taught them. So they stand their ground. They're thrown into a furnace. Gonna die, right? No, God comes. He comes in there with them, walks with them, and they're set free. God will have your back if you live for him. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. God wants to be your provider, your comforter, your shelter, your refuge. But you need to come to him for that to be a reality. You know, sin separates us from God. It's just the way it is. You know, it's like darkness and light. And when you turn on that light, the darkness is gone. And that's how it should be when God comes into our lives. You know, he fills us with his light, and that sin is gone. Through the grace of God, he sent Jesus to die for us so that we can be close to him again, because, you know, on our own, we never would be. There's way too much sin in our lives. We need to continue to resist temptation. James chapter 4, go back to verse 7. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Both these verses, you know, it's we do something and then there's a response. We come near to God, God draws near to us. We resist the devil and the devil flees from us. It's an action with a response. We can read through this book of James and you just skim over it quickly, some people, and they say, the devil will flee from you. Yeah, man, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. That devil's running scared. There's nothing he can do to hurt me. We read it so quickly that we forget to see that we need to resist. It's on us to do the resisting. The devil is not going to just leave us alone and sit idly by. In fact, if you choose to live a life for God, the devil's going to come and he's going to try and attack you. And he will be there at your doorstep. So we need to do the resisting. Temptation's going to come, but it's on us to look the other way. You know, Lisa and I, with our kids, we always ask them this question. We're like, is that a good choice or is that a bad choice? And we usually ask this when they're doing something wrong. Actually, we always ask that particular question when they're doing something wrong. And so we know it's a bad choice, but we do this and we ask them because it forces them to look at their own decision. You know, they look at what they're doing and they make a judgment call. Should I be doing this or not? Sure, they can continue to do it, even though they think it's bad, but it's an effective way at getting them to recognize the difference between good and bad. Because there is a difference between good and bad. There is a difference between good and bad. There is a difference. Some people don't see it, but there is. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves the same question. Is this a bad choice or is this a good choice? Is this something healthy that I'm about to do for my life? Or is this going to have a really negative impact? You know, the same is true with the way we speak and the words we choose. Is this something that's going to build somebody up? Or is this something that maybe is left best unsaid? Or is this something that might be a little bit judgmental? Or is this something that's gossip and that I shouldn't be repeating? You know, when you're trying to be a leader and when you're trying to be effective at reaching people for Jesus, they listen very closely to your words. They listen closely to the words that are coming out of your mouth because they want to see if it lines up. I mean, that's why Christians get called hypocrites all the time, because their life is not lining up with what they're saying. So as a leader, I think this kind of forethought is crucial in protecting your integrity and your character. You need to think before you act. It's not healthy to just run into an action without first thinking about it. Forethought. So one way you can be sure that it's a good choice is if it lines up with what the Bible teaches, which is another way of saying it's contrary to what the world teaches, because they're opposing. Leaders and lovers of God always look different than the world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I just love this verse. You know, it's got a lot of meaning to me. I remember Lisa and I, we were running the youth group here quite a few years ago now. I don't know how many years. And we had this verse as a theme that we wanted to build the youth group upon. And we changed the name of the youth group to Riot. And Lisa came up with this amazing acronym, Running Into Oncoming Traffic, Riot. Now, we weren't saying that we wanted the teens to run out and take cars on head on and try to beat them. You know, they don't need to be encouraged to do that because teenagers are crazy and they do it naturally. So no encouragement necessary. But the idea was all about going against the flow, going against the norm of the world, to be in the world, but not of the world, to be different. The non-Christian should be visibly different to the Christian, and the Christian should be visibly different to the non-Christian. All too often, this isn't the case. You know, those lines can get blurred. You can't see the difference. If you look at a group of people, you can't pick out a Christian because they're all acting the same. So the best question I get asked sometimes is, what makes you so different? You know, maybe I get that asked more often than you would think, but maybe it's because I'm really weird. But hopefully it's because I'm a Christian. And hopefully it's because my relationship with Jesus makes me a little different. And when I do get asked that question, I never miss out on the opportunity to share my faith, because it's a great platform. You know, what makes you different? Well, you know, I have a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus gives me strength and comfort. And, you know, when I'm going through a struggle, I don't really need to worry about the outcome because I know Jesus is there with me and he's going to take care of it. So, you know what? You may, like, worry and agonize over a decision or over what you're going to eat tomorrow, but I don't need to worry about that because I'm a Christian. And I can conduct my business in a worthy manner because I am a Christian. I can be honest and not be focused on the money and making the money. So it sets me apart. Be different than the world. The world says I'm great because of my accomplishments, because of my possessions, because of what I do and what I earn, because of the way I look, because I'm beautiful, because of my success. That's what the world says. But we need to be focused on giving God the glory. You know, and boasting in what God has done, not what we do, not who we are. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. We need to be giving God the glory for what he has done. God's going to bring you into a position of leadership if you live for him. If you get into a position of leadership, but you sacrifice your beliefs and your values to get it, it's not going to be worth much. Actually, it's going to be meaningless. Because when you get there and you've had it all done, what's it for? Really, if you don't have God, you have nothing. Daniel lived a God-first life. And he lived a life contrary to worldly values. That's not easy. It's not easy for us to live that way either. Daniel couldn't have lived that way if he didn't have such a great and strong connection to God. If his relationship with God, that's why he took that time to prayer, spend time with God. That was his strength and how he persevered. Yeah, it's so important. It's so important to be spending time with God. Time in prayer, reading the Bible, soaking in God's presence. Like Pastor Doug talked about last week, spending time in the Holy Spirit, allowing him to speak to you. We need that. It's too easy to get off course. It's too easy just to completely fall off the tracks and get derailed if we're not spending that time with God. It's necessary. John chapter 15. This is good. Verses 4 to 8. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. A leader and a lover of God will always abide in his presence. You need to abide in his presence. Many people fall short on this point. They miss out on everything that abiding with God offers. We can do a lot of great things. A lot of great things for God, but if we're not abiding with him, it means nothing. This can happen even within the church. Even within ministries. Even with me getting up here and preaching to you guys and talking to you guys. If I'm not abiding with God outside of this, it doesn't mean anything. It's not going to be fruitful. If I want to bear much fruit and I want to have an impact on people, I need to take that time. Sacrifice that time and spend it with Jesus. This can happen in so many ministries. You know, I'm going to pick on Sunday school ministry for a minute here, just because it's really an important ministry. So if you're called into Sunday school ministry and you just go back there and you get so wrapped up in the doing of things, you get the kids in there, you calm them down, maybe you play some music and some songs and teach them a lesson, and you fill them with a bunch of sugar. I love that part. They come back, look what I got. It's like, oh, I'm going to pay for that later. I know there's more to it than that. There's a lot more to it than that. But if you're just going through the motions, it's going to get old after a while. You're going to lose that fire or that passion that you may have had before, and you're going to forget why you started doing it even in the first place. You started doing it in the first place because somewhere or another, God placed you there. But you're so focused on getting it done, and you're so focused on the million other things that we need to get done in a week. We live in a very busy society, and we have so many places we have to be, people we have to meet, things we have to do. And if you're so focused on all those things, you're going to burn out because you're going to forget to just abide. If you were abiding with God, he would speak to you and he would let you know that you're making a difference in these kids' lives. He would let you know that he is so proud of you and so thankful that you're caring and loving for his children. And you know, God would even give you visions of the future, of these kids growing up into thriving Christians. And when they faced a tough decision in their life or a critical point in their life, they would make the right decision because of something they taught you. You know, I still remember things that I was taught as a child. And God, I mean, if you had that motivation and you had that strength going into that Sunday school class and you were that focused because you abided with God, you were going to be so much more productive. You are going to bear much fruit. The times where we abide with God, it's where he leads us, he directs us, he fills us. He fills us with joy, fills us with compassion, energy. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, is what it says. We feel weak sometimes because we get so burdened and overwhelmed with everything we got to do. But God can give us energy. He gives us a passion to save the lost and the needy. Look at that Sunday school class. They're on fire back there. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. This verse on abiding, it's the words of Jesus. You know, I know that because when I looked in my Bible, it was written in red. The red letters are always Jesus. Just FYI. I don't know if you knew that. It's news to me. So whenever you see those letters, though, you kind of got to perk up and listen. Because this is Jesus talking. This is the Son of God giving these words to us. Somehow they have a little bit more weight, a little bit more importance. That's how I feel. And he says, apart from him, you can do nothing. Apart from God, you can do nothing. All your good intentions, all your efforts, all your striving, everything you can do in this world is in vain if you're not doing it with Jesus. If you're not spending time with God, he said, you're going to be like a branch that's withered. And when you're withered, you'll be thrown into the fire. I don't want to be thrown into the fire. I don't know about you guys. These are the words of Jesus. We need to be close to him. Daniel knew it. That's why he knelt down and prayed 3 times a day. Even when his life was in the balance, he still did it. Because he knew apart from God, he may as well already be dead. We need to make it a priority in our lives too. Daniel was brought to a place that was spiritually dark. I mean, this Babylonian empire, it was severely lacking with the presence of God. I mean, his people were brought there, but God wasn't there. It takes a lot of courage to serve and to rise up into a situation like that. But I think right now we're in a spiritually dry place too. You know, it seems like we're headed more and more in that direction where God isn't being honored, God isn't being lifted up, and his law isn't being upheld. If you're going to be effective at reaching people in this culture, you need to live this God-first life. You need to get into the Bible, get to know the scriptures. Why do we need to know the Bible so well? Well, think about Daniel. He didn't fight every battle. He picked and chose the battles he fought. I mean, he was brought to serve a king who didn't believe in the same God he did. But he served that king. He served that king well and humbly. Even though he wasn't Like, it'd be like today, if our leader's not a Christian, they still serve them well. He still lived a life that God wanted him to live to, but he picked his battles. When did Daniel choose to stand up and fight? Whenever it came to something that went against the word of God and God's law, that's when he stood up. So if you're wondering, what should I be fighting for? What's important in this life? Where should I take a stand? It's whenever it's something that goes contrary to the word of God. We need to be fighting for the word of God. We need to be standing up for those principles and those truths. You know, this country was founded on biblical principles. But I think over the years and centuries, we've gotten far away from that. And we do live in a free country and we have freedom of speech. But that window is getting smaller and smaller when we're able to speak about God. And we're able to speak about Jesus and his name freely. So I really feel like we just need to be like Daniel and pick our battles and fight for God's law. Stand your ground. So I was thinking about Daniel and the lion's den this morning. And I was thinking about how we read that story and we always think that the clear and present danger is the lions, these ferocious beasts that are going to eat Daniel. But that's not the clear and present danger. You know, Daniel could have chose not to pray, not been thrown in the lion's den. But I think that was the danger. Daniel not standing up for what he believed in. Daniel not choosing to follow God's way was the true danger. And we all have lions in our lives. We all have things that we think are going to be the end of us. We get focused on our finances, on our health, you know, on what we're going to eat. We get so worried about our kids, how they're going to grow up, how they're going to turn out. Those are lions in our lives. But God sends his angels to shut the mouths of the lions. God will have your back and God will take care of those lions. What's really important and what we really need to focus on is following God in his way. You know, at the end of your life, they say you're only going to regret the good you didn't do. Think about that. Daniel chose a life that was God first. Daniel chose to live contrary to the word. And Daniel spent time abiding with God. So today, it's what we need to do. Live for God first, contrary to the word of the world, and spend time with God. I'm just going to close in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, just come before you right now and lift up these words that were said to you. God, I ask that they would just pierce the hearts of the people that hear them, God. Everybody here has struggles. Everybody here has pain. God, you said that in this world we will have trouble. But you have overcome the world. God, and if you are for us, then who can be against us? God, through your Spirit, you strengthen us and you allow us to do things that are beyond our imagination. God, you fill us with your love and you set us on a path that'll bring us to happiness and contentment. And yeah, it can be hard at times, but you always, always have our backs. You know, I want to just pray right now with anyone who wants to be in that relationship and hasn't made that decision before. You know, if it sounds good to you to have a God who is so big on your side, a God who is so great and so strong and so mighty on your side, then I just ask that you would pray this prayer with me. Just got to repeat these words. It's really easy, really simple. Just say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. And I know that only you can take away my sin. I give my life to you. And I choose to serve you alone. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, with everyone keeping their heads bowed and their eyes closed, if you said that prayer for the first time today, I just ask that you would lift your hand. Just acknowledge that step, if that's you. It's important. And God, I just want to pray for everybody here today, God, that you would strengthen them and that you would build them up. God, fill them with the joy. God,